Imagine an educational program where like 70% of your time is spent working in the actual dirt, and you can literally be expelled for missing curfew.
Right, or where your teachers actually follow you home after graduation, just to make sure your harvest improved.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a 2012 draft policy document from South Africa's Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries.
It's a really fascinating read.
It is. And our mission today is to explore how this policy attempts to take emerging, previously disadvantaged farmers and transform them into commercial successes.
Okay, let's unpack this, because reading through the strategy for these agricultural training institutes, or ATIs, it feels less like a traditional school.
Yeah, it's definitely not a typical classroom setup.
Right, it feels a lot more like a high-stakes startup incubator. But instead of, coding the next big social media app, these founders are literally growing a nation's food supply, which is a huge deal. And those ATIs explicitly treat this training as a serious economic investment. I mean, every single training plan has to include a strict cost-benefit analysis.
Wait, an actual cost-benefit analysis for every single plan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The goal is to clear the specific obstacles that previously disadvantaged farmers face. They are trying to turn raw human potential into tangible economic output. So they are looking for a highly strategic, real-world return on the resources they provide.
Okay, so to get that return, you have to look at how they transition this boardroom strategy straight into the dirt. And they enforce this massive curriculum split. It is 70% practical work and only 30% theory.
That is a huge shift from normal schooling.
Right. And I have to push back on that slightly. Like, is 30% theory really enough for modern agriculture? I mean, we are talking about complex soil chemistry, market economics, hydrology. It just seems like a lot to gloss over.
I get that. But what's fascinating here is the underlying philosophy behind that ratio. Because, in so many academic settings, theory just completely swallows the practical application.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
So by enforcing a 70% practical requirement, it guarantees that physical competence takes absolute priority over academic memorization. They're literally building muscle memory.
Muscle memory for farming. Wow.
Exactly. And to make sure that 30% theory actually lands, trainers are mandated to develop their manuals in local languages. They even have to wear specific protective clothing.
Oh, to strip away the whole ivory tower vibe.
Right, it grounds the entire education in the daily physical reality of the farmer.
Which makes sense. But to make that 70% practical ratio actually work, the state essentially treats these programs like closed ecosystems, I mean, with incredibly strict rules.
Very strict rules.
Yeah, for instance, to get into their learnerships, which are basically structured work-based training programs, trainees need at least a grade 9 education.
Which sets a baseline.
Yeah. And you can only train on the specific commodities you actively farm, which actually makes total sense when you think about it. It eliminates educational waste, right?
Exactly. You learn about maize today, you apply it to your own maize tomorrow. The strictness is entirely protective of the state's investment.
Right, because of the heavy resources involved.
Yeah, when the government is pouring that much into an individual's hands-on education, they demand absolute professionalism in return. That's why you see those intense zero tolerance policies.
Oh, yeah, the zero tolerance for theft, vandalism, drugs, and even those really strict times for checking into their respective rooms.
Yes, the curfews. It maintains a hyper-focused, distraction-free environment. That way, those practical skills are absorbed as efficiently as possible.
So, what does this all mean for you? Well, that intense oversight doesn't just evaporate the second the training finishes. The policy mandates what they call aftercare services.
Which is so unique.
It is. The ATIs don't just hand over a certificate and wave goodbye. They actively partner with local municipalities and extension services.
Those are basically the government-funded agricultural advisors, right?
Right, the people who actually visit farms to help solve local problems, they use them to measure the actual impact of the training on your specific farm.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is arguably the most radical part of the entire document. I mean, how often do educational programs actually mandate field testing their own success after graduation?
Basically never. Usually, once you pass the test, the school's job is done.
Exactly. But here, the education system takes responsibility for the real-world outcome. They are ensuring the knowledge doesn't just stay in a student's head, but actually yields a better harvest in the local economy.
It totally flips the script on how we measure learning, which I think leaves you with a pretty massive concept to chew on.
For sure.
What would our own modern education systems look like if they were run like this agricultural incubator? Just imagine if your high school or university was legally required to provide aftercare services to measure whether their teaching actually functioned in your daily professional life.